What are you hungry for? What are you craving? Food? Wine? Friendship? An end to the loneliness? The lighting up of the darkness? The buzz of fellowship? The warm embrace of love? To be hungry is to be human, and to feed that hunger is to be human too. And we all live in a very deeply hungry age. We are all of us barraged daily with promises to feed our hunger, to quench our thirst, to satisfy all our desires, to bring an end to the infinite craving and to fill the emptiness deep within. And so we're all consumers. We're not just people, but we're beings who are labelled as those who consume. We eat and we eat and we eat as we try to sate the gnawing hunger that chews us up inside. And our eating is supported by an economic system that relies on consumption of food and wine and travel and all the accoutrements of modern life. New toys, new phones, new clothes, new shoes, new cars, new information, new everything. "I need a dress," said my daughter. I won't tell you which one. "But you have lots of dresses," I said. "I only like new ones," she replied. Out of the mouth of babes. In our society, even young children have learned to be consumers, ever on the lookout for more things and newer things than what they already own. Of course, the new becomes old. The dress fades and the book bores. The gadget becomes tedious. The toys no longer enchant. And being good citizens, we hurry off and buy the next dress and the next book and the next gadget and the next shiny new toy and try to fill the gaping wound that yawns within. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which does not satisfy? Asked the prophet Isaiah. And well might he ask. Perhaps our answer is quite simple, that we have not yet learned that holding on to things will never satisfy. We seek our satisfaction in material things, in owned things, in personal possessions, because we have not yet learned that everything is gift. And every gift is given only for us to give away. Instead, we clutch on to our gifts, our wealth, our comforts, our talents, even our love, or else we ration them out. And we keep on wondering why we're so ravenously hungry, so painfully empty inside. The ancient Israelites faced the same questions. These words from the prophet Isaiah were addressed to an Israelite elite who'd been deported to Babylon. And there they'd made lives for themselves. Even as they sang songs of lament for their beloved Zion, they raised sons and daughters. They worked in the local economy. They traded, bought and sold. And they capitulated to the culture of empire. And so, of course, their identity became compromised. And so here the prophet is recalling them to their roots, for they're a covenantal people whose faithfulness is expressed through neighbourly sharing and whose economics should be based on the expectation of abundance. Nothing is held on to because God will always provide. There are people who once relied on the daily provision of manna in the desert, food which could never be stored up. There are people of whom Jubilee was expected, if not always enacted. And here the prophet is offering them a choice. Come back to the way of shalom, of well-being, of neighbourly sharing. You that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy milk and wine without money and without price, for this is the way of the God of your ancestors, the God who will lead you out of captivity and into the ways of freedom and abundance. Come back, because your ways are leading you into avariciousness and anxiety and restlessness and hunger and emptiness and despair. Come back to my ways, which are not your ways, says the Lord. Come back to the ways of generosity and abundance and thanksgiving and well-being. Come back to shalom. And this shalom is an alternative economy and an alternative that speaks to us here and now. For we're all caught up in Babylon, in an economy and a system which drives us to get the most toys, to keep up with the Joneses, and to fear any threat to our wealth. And so as individuals and households, we pour our time and energy into consumption and into that which does not satisfy. And as a nation, we patrol our maritime borders and pour billions into offshore detention centres so we do not have to feel that we need to share. We all participate in an economy of fear and scarcity when all the evidence points to a different reality, to God's reality, that there is more than enough for all. And so we become the walking wounded, the ravenously hungry, or the flesh-eating undead. And yet we have hope. Our hope is in God's ongoing action in the world, in God's ongoing call to change, God's eternal expression of forgiveness and love and healing. In the next chapter of Isaiah, God tells the people to maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my healing will come and my freedom will be revealed. God's way, the way of justice and righteousness and generosity, the forgiveness of debts and hospitality, these economic practices and these ways of living will heal us. Every week we gather here to practice God's economy in a little way, to eat together, to love one another, and to be recalled to justice and hospitality and generosity. We may not be ancient Israelites exiled in Babylon, but we are modern Christians living in a rapacious economic system, and our faith remains rooted in God's abundance, God's shalom. And so every week we hold up the body of Christ and give thanks. And we give thanks to remind ourselves that it is never ours. It is always a gift from God. We break it and then we share it, because every gift from God is a gift from abundance, a gift to be shared, a gift given for the life of the world. In the same way, as members of the body of Christ, we learn that our own lives are a gift from abundance, a gift to be shared, a gift given for the life of the world. And we can give our lives away because we're confident that the eternal source of life, the God who promises healing and freedom, will always replenish us. So come. Don't spend your money for that which is not bread, or your labour for that which does not satisfy. Come, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Come and give thanks for life, the gift that is given to all of us, only to be shared. Come turn your lives around and offer them up to God. Because it's only in the giving and the sharing of all that you are and all that you have that you will really, truly live. Only then will your deepest hungers be met. Only then will your thirst be quenched. Only then will the loneliness be satisfied. So come and offer all back to God, your gifts, your fears, your wealth, and your dreaming, and receive your life in abundance.